Hello, welcome to Refresh Reality. I'm your host, Anthony Nugget, and today I'm joined by a very close friend of mine. Welcome to the podcast, Michael.
Hi.
Hello, okay, so let's get started. Today's topic, we will be talking about the Warren cases. Supernatural occurrences that have been inspiration for many movie franchises like The Conjuring and the Amityville Horrors franchises. So how familiar are you with those franchises?
The Conjuring made me piss my pants, and I know Annabelle's a scary doll.
Okay, that's good. That's good backup knowledge. However, before we get into the actual supernatural cases, let's get more into the Warrens themselves. Okay, yeah. So Edward Warren Minnie was a self-taught and self-professed demonologist, author, and lecturer.
Wait, his wife. What's his full name again?
Edward Warren Minnie.
How do you spell Minnie?
Minney.
Okay, that's almost like Minnie Mouse. I was going to make fun of his ass.
His wife, Lorraine Rita Warren, professed to be a clairvoyant and a light trance medium who worked closely with her husband. Together, they solved over 50 major supernatural cases, from possessed priests to cases where spirits actually tear apart houses physically. But today we'll be talking about four very notable cases. Of course, to start off, we'll have to talk about probably their most famous case, the Raggedy Ann doll Annabelle. We already talked about Annabelle on this podcast, but it's always nice to go over it again. So Annabelle was a gift from a mom to her daughter who was in college at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Which, your daughter's going to college and you get her a Raggedy Ann doll.
Think about it. Annabelle, you've seen Annabelle. You know what Annabelle looks like. She doesn't look like even a normal Raggedy Ann doll. It's like some weird off-brand type. She's nothing like Raggedy Ann. At least not the ones I grew up knowing of. Raggedy Ann dolls are really cartoonish and not realistic at all. But Annabelle is just straight up a damn near porcelain redhead doll, and it's terrifying.
Well, okay, that porcelain doll is what's portrayed in the movies. In real life. Yeah, it's the movie franchises did change the look of Annabelle by a lot. She was just a tiny little Raggedy Ann doll, you know.
Even worse, that's way more scary. It's like an elf on the shelf.
Yeah. So, all right. So, at first, the doll moved on its own, subtle stuff, you know. You see a doll in one spot, turn around, it's in a different spot. Just typical.
Don't touch it or it'll lose its magic.
Exactly. Yes. But after a while, the doll started leaving notes around the house that said, help me and play with me. And you know how weird that is to find notes written in someone else's handwriting just scattered?
Yeah, right. Here's an elf. They said, help me because they need help making the toys for Santa and they just want to play.
Yes,
elf
on the shelf.
Demonic elf on the shelf. That's my new big series.
Wow. All right. The daughter, of course, got worried. She called in a medium. And the medium, after doing a little reading on the doll, said the doll was haunted by a little girl who died in the house and is now inhabiting the doll. At that point, why do you still have the doll, you know?
Yeah.
After hearing all
this, it's like a for sure sign that maybe this isn't a great idea.
But of course, with every story, the daughter took the doll home and started treating it like a legitimate child. You know,
you know what though? That probably kept the spirit at bay for a certain amount of time. Because that's how it is a lot of time. If you're dealing with either a child spirit or an old person, if you treat it like you would a normal person, they at least the way it's portrayed in media, they literally are kind of chill and sometimes will befriend you or protect you. They become protectors at some point. So if you're dealing with a little girl spirit, hey, play with the doll, man. Little girl's they might as well. They ain't gonna hurt you. At least maybe.
Maybe. But spoke too soon. Okay. The daughter had a boyfriend who constantly came over and taunted the doll. He wasn't really a believer in the spirits. came over like,
man over here, to a little fucking Raggedy Ann doll.
God, Jesus. Okay. One day, when he was alone with the doll, the apartment lights went out. The doors closed on by themselves, like typical haunted house stuff, you know.
Yeah, the works.
Mm-hmm. At one point, the boyfriend went into a room by himself where the doll was sitting by itself. Okay, just in the corner, like Chucky would, you know.
Yeah.
When he turned his back on it, he received it was about three like large scratches on its back.
Ooh, three exactly. Yeah. I hate odd numbers. Fuck you.
After the girlfriend saw this, she seeked help from Ed and Lorraine Warren. Okay. And Lorraine came and contacted the spirit in the doll, and basically they did like a little exorcism on it. Turns out there was a demon inhabiting the doll.
Not a little girl.
Not a little girl, no.
Demons are not little girls.
This is true. Demons are not little girls.
Contrary to popular belief, demons are not little girls. This is a public service
PSA. instead, it wasn't even like inhabiting the doll, like possessing it. It was more or less just moving it around, using it as like a an object, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So now having seen all this, the daughter let the Warrens take the doll, of course. You know, yeah. So Ed and Lorraine took it. They took it to their house. On the way home, Ed avoided highways and like any way like the demon could have killed them while on their way home. The craziest part was, at one point, the car brakes malfunctioned for a while until holy water was poured onto the doll and the brakes started working again.
That is literally a scene from Chucky. Chucky cuts the brakes and then they crash the car. That's literally Chucky, redhead ass doll.
The only thing with that is the only two people we can account on this is Ed and Lorraine themselves. You know, so even if this was a lie or true, we would just have to take their word for it.
You gotta ask the crazy people. Are they dead?
Yes, they passed. I think Ed passed away in 2006 and Lorraine recently passed away in 2018, I believe.
Never mind. Don't ask the crazy people.
I'm skipping ahead of my script by accident. When they got home, they really had no place to put it, which is not a smart idea, so they kind of just left it in the living room.
Just left it on the couch.
No, there
just
were
it was on the couch like an actual doll.
Yeah, there was a goddamn demon inhabiting the doll, you know, and just leaving it on the couch. The doll, apparently the demon was very upset by us being separated from the daughter. I guess you could say it through tantrums. Yeah.
Might as well have been a little girl.
Yeah, but scratches on the walls and things were thrown around, like stuff like that. About like a few days later, Ed was able to build like a little cabinet for a doll and like wrap the cabinet in pages of the Bible. To this day, the cabinet still stands in the Warren's museum house. You can come and visit it. I suggest not. But
that's got bad.
Yeah. Priest comes twice a month to bless the cabinet.
To this day?
To this day, every month. He comes and blesses the cabinet.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So even with the doll in the blessed cabinet, the demon is still very violent. The demon is not at rest at all, for sure. Its power is just more or less reduced, I guess. So for an example, I don't know when this was. I think it was a few years ago, but a biker, this is a very notable story. A biker and his girlfriend came into the Warren Museum and kind of just started, you know, taunting the doll, like flipping it off, saying it's not real. Yeah, but
like I said once again, grown ass man.
I swear. Why? Just why? Do you have nothing better to do on your free
time? Yeah, look at Mr. Big Chip over here flipping off the doll. Oh, ooh, you got some balls on you there, Sonny.
But they were asked to leave, of course. And when they got on their bike, what happened was they crashed into a tree on the highway. Yeah.
Good.
You know how fast it is. You know how fast you're going on the highway to and just slamming right into a tree. That's you're
well,
going.
What? You got a tree next to it though.
He was just driving on like the side, like side lanes, close to.
I was about to say, even then though, but like highways are usually pretty open. Like even the space around, unless you're, I guess no, some highways are next to a forest. Never mind.
The girlfriend survived, but is now paralyzed.
Terrible. Shut up the doll, Jenny.
So she claimed that before crashing, they saw the doll in their side view mirror, and that's why and it basically caught them off guard enough for him to spin out and crash into that tree, I guess.
Okay. Are you saying did you word it like, oh no, I was frightened. He was frightened and spun out, or like, oh, the doll did it. Which one was it? Like, was it just he was startled? Because if you should be able to drive and be startled and still be able to continue. If you can't do that, you probably shouldn't be on the road.
Exactly. But what she said was they saw the doll in the side view mirror, and then they immediately, and then he, I think he just got caught off guard enough to crash, I guess, distracted.
Oh no, a baby doll!
Very well could have been his imagination. And,
but
I guess that's the story of Annabelle. To this day, Annabelle sits in that cabinet in the Warren Museum, where their now son-in-law takes care
you wanna
of
go, her. You want to go visit her on Halloween?
I'll pass. I don't think I'm going to mess with many demons in my life.
Flip her off.
And yes, and then go on a bike ride.
I just want to hug her. I want to hug her.
You get Annabelle, good old hug.
The big old bear hug. Squeeze the life out of the demon.
Yeah, squeeze the living life out of the
demon. Yeah, take whatever life it has left.
Demonic out the doll.
It's like a Care Bear episode. If I give it enough love, it'll stop being angry.
Annabelle is just a Care Bear.
It's an angry Care Bear.
Cousin.
Oh my god. All right.
Well, that's the story of Annabelle. Yeah, okay. So let's move on to the second case, shall we?
Okay.
The second case is the Amityville hauntings.
Okay, I heard about this one. I don't know. So this one I'm actually really interested in. I don't know
much about. Okay. I had to shorten this as much as I could. And this could be
got a lot of details.
This topic could literally be an episode of its own. It's a lot. But I shortened it to as much as possible, and it's still pretty long.
Okay. I'm ready.
All right, so the Amityville Horror was actually just a very haunted house, okay? If you ever see the films, they take place across, like, an actual town.
Wait. Where's Amityville?
Amityville is in New York. It's a little bit outside of New York City.
Oh, really? Wait, I thought this was, like, a small town in Missouri or some shit.
No. Amityville, New York. Yeah.
This is like next to one of the most populated cities in America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess like okay, the film industry has had its fair share of Amityville. It produced a total of 28 movies just off of Amityville.
This house sounds lit.
You know how much you have to juice from this topic? Wait,
Star Wars movies, yeah. How y'all get 28 movies about a house?
What they do is they don't do it about a house. They do it about, they just use the name Amityville. There could be movies like Amityville Asylum. Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah, this spans from spin-off films to reboots and just a lot of films.
A true story. Okay, bud. Sure. I didn't know we were retconning real life. My bad. Must not.
Let's get into the house history itself, okay? The house itself was built in 1927 by a lovely couple, John and Catherine Monahan, in a quiet town just outside New York City, Amityville. John and Catherine Monahan aren't very important to the story, but they did build the house. I guess I didn't include them. Are you still there? Hello?
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure my connection. Skip forward to about 1965, where now the DeFeo family has moved in. A family of seven consisting of a dad, a mom, and five children. Things were quiet until November 13, 1974. One of the children, 23-year-old Ronnie Butch DeFeo, burst into the local bar and shouted, quote, yeah.
That is a grown man. I'm sorry. The way you worded it.
Like that, yeah, no, he is son to the person who was killed, I guess.
The 23-year-old child.
The 23-year-old baby rushed into the bar. The
25-year-old infant escaped from the nursery there.
Okay. He burst into the bar and shouted, quote, you gotta help me. I think my mother and father are shot, end quote. Mm. How do you think your mom and dad got shot? I think it's either they did or they didn't.
Yeah, what do you mean? I think, I don't know if you heard, but bullets, they make you bleed, like, a lot. They go deep in there, man. They're pretty deadly. And I don't think you can think someone got shot. You either got shot or you didn't.
Apparently Ron was actually complained about. No, DeFeo. Actually complained a lot about his father, saying he was raised under his father's heel. So I guess he had some daddy issues, basically.
That sounds like the Mendez twins. Do you know about them?
Yes.
Yeah, the kids who were getting raped by their own dad, and they got enough of it and killed him.
Yeah.
That sounds about like the same story.
I wasn't raped, though.
Okay, good for him.
It was just treated a little bit harshly, I guess.
Okay, well, yeah, that's not rape.
More cold towards him, I guess. Okay. Everyone in the bar proceeded to follow Ron to his house, where they found every family member shot and killed in their beds.
Oh, shit! In their beds! Wow!
Yes.
Oh God, and if they're in their beds, I mean, you waited for them to sleep, so this isn't even like a cold-blooded murder. This is like almost tender love and care murder. I don't know if that exists, but you waited for them to sleep so they didn't have to feel the pain of death. You waited, bro. This was planned and premeditated. That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. There was no sign of struggle from any of the family members, so it was more likely they were killed in their sleep. So, the thing that just confuses me is there's a total of what? I remember I said five family members? Yes.
Yeah, five, I think.
Mm-hmm. That means he would have to go into, like, the person who killed him would have had to go into each room and kill them with a single shot. So yeah. Why didn't any family member, you know how loud a gunshot is? Even if it's
pretty loud,
even if there is like a suppressor on it, that's still pretty loud for a house, you know?
It depends. If you're using a pin, it doesn't say what type of gun was used, does it? I feel like if this is an Amityville family in Amityville, it was probably a shotgun.
Yes.
Yeah, y'all are stupid as heavy ass.
Even 1974. I don't think gun technology.
God, it is. Today, wow. Yeah, never mind. Yeah, that guns weren't as advanced back then. Yeah, so, did you not wake up in the dead of night hearing a gunshot?
Yeah. So the thing is, they could have easily somehow could have hide, ran, but they were all in their beds, and there was no sign of struggle. You know, that's just the weird part about all this.
That's very strange.
So here's what really happened, okay? that was from Ron's point of view, okay?
Oh, okay.
He went to the bar, he shot for help, acted innocent. Ron was the one who killed his family that day, the day before.
Really? Oh my God, shocker!
Plot twist.
Oh, I didn't see this coming.
Yeah. On November 12, 1974, in the middle of the night, Ron killed each of his family members with a 35 caliber rifle.
Okay.
Then he showered, brushed his teeth, got dressed, and went to work like normal around 6:30 in the morning. How do you... Yeah.
No, I feel like even if I were to kill someone, I'd probably realize what I did right after and be like, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit. This man did not care. He didn't give a single fuck. And even if he was just raised under his dad's boot, what did everybody else do?
Yeah.
Like, just take your dad somewhere and kill him. Like, what your siblings do? What happened?
There was a 9-year-old that was killed.
Oh my God.
All these kids went to school at the time, so
disgusting.
For you to do that and then just put on a normal face and go to work directly after.
Hey Ron, how's the day going? Just swell, Jim. Just swell.
Like, what? Blood stains on his sleeve.
Like, what the hell? That's strange. People are crazy.
A little while later, the neighbor, Mrs. Catherine O'Reilly, came over to pick up the kids for school like she usually does. Of course, no one answered. And she came to knock on the door about 2 more times that day, like a good neighbor she is. Ryan apparently slept in his car that night. And then on November 13th, next day, he obviously burst into the bar. Later on in court during trial, Ron did plead guilty to murdering his family. But he says, and I quote, "Evil voices made me do it," end quote.
Hmm.
Yeah.
He tried to get that insanity plea. He tried to plead insanity to get a less worse sentence.
Mm. The thing is, with the family murder, there's a lot to go into it because in some cases, Ron even said that he made up a lot of stories. Sometimes we don't even know. That was one story. Another story was that he and his 18-year-old sister had came up with a plan to just murder his father. But apparently his sister got too buck wild and decided to go on a rampage, and he had to put his sister down too. That was another story Ron told people. So
wait, but wouldn't that mean that she killed everyone in their beds and then went back to bed? And then he killed her when she went back to bed.
That's actually what he's saying.
He almost got that insanity plea too, because that's insane. That's an insane story to even make up. That makes zero sense. You didn't put any thought into that.
No. He was sentenced to 6 concurrent life sentences of 25 years to life imprisonment, and he is to this day he is still serving a sentence right now.
Death penalty. Not enough.
Yeah. So that was the fail murder.
Oh yeah, there's more. Yeah. I forgot Amityville's pretty big.
Alright. Would you believe me if I told you about 13 months later a new family moved in? Just about single email.
Really? Y'all, huh? That's crazy.
They were warned that this was a murder house. They were told that it was a murder house, and they said, you know what, I'll sign right there.
Could not catch me moving into a house where I know a whole family was murdered by their son
in their sleep too, in the bed. Exactly. In every bedroom,
in every bed, not just one, not like it was just one room where one person got killed. 5 different people, probably 4 different bedrooms if the mom and dad slept in the same one.
So, yeah.
Well, come on now. Come on. Damn, wait. That means this house is probably big.
Oh, yeah. I'll get to that. The Lutz family had bought the house in December of 1975 for $80,000, which was a very cheap price for a house of 4 beds, 3.5 bathrooms, and a quarter acre of land.
That is crazy.
$80,000. It was quote unquote their dream house, so they just had to buy it. However, they would not last 28. They will only last 28 days in the house before.
That's all they
lasted a whole February.
February.
Oh, God.
What happened to him? What happened to him, man?
There was a total of 7 people in the Letts family. This included George Letts, who was a stepfather to his wife's children. He was married to Catherine Letts, and there's only so many sources that will reveal the children's names because of the trauma they suffered from that and the lack of privacy they got after living there. However, let's account the hauntings. George Lutz was actually very interested in the supernatural, and it was a part of the reason why he chose this house.
Oh my god. just go to a haunted forest. Don't live in it.
And his family members said he would constantly try to summon spirits within the house.
Nope, not my dad.
Imagine your stepdad, like, just freaking George doing it again. George is up a team. Oh,
George, back of the stands.
Like, what is George doing? That,
what did George do?
These kids have not accepted their father, and he is just.
This is just strange. He's a little weird.
But the children said they seen a strange green substance like ooze come out from the wall.
Ectoplasm. Oh, yeah. Damn, a phantom was in this house?
Ghost nut. What? Huh?
I guess he's deprived.
This could very well be made up because no one has ever found traces of the ooze or has identified what the ooze was. Okay. So, everyone in the house also claimed that they see figures, like silhouettes of figures, pressed up against their windows at night. That's always terrifying to me. Just the thought of that, like, it's just someone.
Yeah, I just thought about it. It's like if you've ever like lived in a house and your bedroom window is close to a tree or something.
Okay.
And like, the silhouette at night would be terrifying. Or like, forgot to be able to like tap the window. Like, I used to live in those houses. It's terrible.
Yeah. That's just, it's scary. Yeah. It's very scary.
Now, if it looks like a full human torso, arms, and head, we don't live here anymore, honey. We're out of here. We're gone. I'm getting the gun, shooting out the window, and running away.
Like, 3 in the morning, you wake up and you see just some creepy ass. Like,
I like how you picked 3 in the morning, the devil's hour. Literal devil's hour.
Well, think about it.
It makes sense. It's just crazy. That was the first one you went to.
Yeah. But that is very terrifying. However, George Lutz supposedly would wake up in the middle of the night approximately exactly at 3:15 in the morning, which was the estimated time that the family was murdered. So every night at 3:15 he would wake up.
My God.
Which was one was the devil's hour, and 2 was the hour the family was murdered in.
Which is even Jesus Christ, their son murdered them in the devil's hour. Those evil spirits in his head might be real.
See, okay, I just want to point out one thing. The thing with this story compared to Annabelle is there's actual names and everything to this story. Okay. There's an account of people actually existing and stuff.
Which is good.
Which is good. The Lutz at one point brought in a priest to bless the house. Oh god, I forgot how to pronounce this guy's name. That's why I wrote it in. Father Pecoero claimed the house. Pecoero, yeah, that's how you pronounce that. I spent, when I was writing this girl, I spent 5 minutes trying to figure out how to pronounce it.
Pecoero.
Pec-o and an air-o.
It might be Pecoero.
Pecoero? No, I searched it up. It was Pecoero.
Okay, I guess.
It's very weird. At first I thought it was that too, but the father claimed that the house told him to quote get out. The actual house energy told him to get out.
The Monster House. I love that movie.
Yes, Amityville is just a movie based off of Amityville.
No, it might be. Now I gotta research this. I gotta look into it. Maybe that house is in Amityville.
There's a lot of controversy about the Lutz, because people were like thought they were just faking it to attract fame, because that was just a murder house, and now they could just get fame from saying that they were haunted. So, which is a part of the reason why the kids choose to live in privacy now. They were bullied a lot, which they had no privacy from anyone, which led to a lot of trauma, I guess, from childhood trauma.
Yeah, which is understandable. If people think you have crazy parents, then usually you get bullied in school. It's bullshit.
Like, you're like at a time you're like 9 years old, and like even the teachers at this time are calling you crazy. You know,
that kid with the crazy parents, like, bitch, they don't mind no business.
Exactly. So poor. It's really sad for them. Anyways, so this led to George and Catherine Lutz being put through a whole lie detector test, which came out as they indeed were telling the truth. So they weren't lying.
I believe they were telling the truth. Because lie detector tests don't really work.
If you're
really good mentally and you can convince yourself that something is absolutely true, you can pass one. So
sociopaths do it all the time.
They could have just believed it that much.
But exactly. So it's lie detector tests aren't really the most trustworthy things, which we should take into account. So about 20 days. Oops, forgot one line. However, the Lutz children did come out later and say that their stepfather did exaggerate their haunting by a lot.
Come on now, George.
He did exaggerate it by a lot. Even some of the things did happen, but maybe he hyped it up too much and told the media too much, I guess.
Fucking weirdo, just tell the truth.
Yeah, so maybe he was seeking out fame, you know?
Maybe. A little bit of a clout chaser.
Yeah.
Clout chaser George.
About 20 days later, the Lutz moved out. The 20 days after the Lutz moved out, and Lorraine Warren were asked to investigate the house. Yeah. During
the boys.
Yes, the boys. The real life Ghostbusters.
Who you gonna call? Eddie and Lorraine.
They pull up like a beetle. During the investigation, while Ed was reading religious provocations in the basement, he was pushed and held to the ground by an invisible force, and people couldn't even like pull him off the ground.
There was more than just him and his wife. He had a crew.
A team of people. Okay, but they have
That's really scary. If you have a lot of accounts of people just not being able to pull this man up, like something.
So there was like they literally felt like there was a force pushing him, holding him to the ground.
That gravity go crazy.
Gravity was on crack that daily.
Gravity wasn't feeling himself.
Lorraine, on the other hand, felt very overwhelmed by a demonic presence in the home because she was a medium.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so overall, that's what they felt. The research team also captured an image of what looked like to be a boy, like a little boy appearing from the second floor of the home.
Oh, no.
But with, like, you know, those, like ghost pictures, like blurry as hell for no reason, like yeah.
What I say to that?
Fuck what? What'd you say?
Fuck them kids. I'm out. This house can stay on it. It's their house.
Their house. No.
Yeah, y'all came in their house.
After a little bit more research into the house, because this is when they actually started researching more about into the house, there was a lot of death involved in this on this property, just this little plot of land.
Even before the one family?
Even before the DeFeo, even before the house was built. In 1924, a man who practiced black magic lived and was buried underneath the land where the house sits on today.
Oh boy.
Yeah. If you want to go even further back, during the 1600s, Native Americans from the Shinnecock tribe had an enclosure for the sick and the mad on this piece of land. Those who were in this enclosure were abandoned to die. So. Oh, All right, sorry about that. I don't know what happened. recording on reason. Okay, so where was I at? So the sick and the insane were left to die. At the time, disease had just spread through what is now America. You know. So it was enough. It was enough sick people and insane people for them just to abandon it completely. So that will just give you an estimate of how many people actually died.
Yeah, this is like an insane asylum full of people under the ground.
Mm-hmm. Because like there was so much negative history to this area, it has been a hot spot for demonic presence. Apparently demons attract more to places involved with death and negativity, I guess.
Which doesn't not make sense. When you say it, it makes sense. It's just but I'm not a demon, so I wouldn't know.
Personally, I wouldn't know because
I'm not a demon. But it sounds right.
Yeah. The Warrens believe that these energies directly affected the Feos and the Lutz. The house still stands today and was on the market for about $850,000 until 2017, when it was sold to an anonymous homeowner for a closing price of $650,000. So the house still stands today. Of course, you can go and look at the house. It still stands in Amityville, but I wouldn't suggest waltzing in because it is private property, after all.
No, I'm not just doing it, though. Who's going to stop me?
Who's going to stop me?
The ghost? The demons? What if I am a demon? What if I lied?
It's kind of sus. Of course, you can, I said that part. As for the Lutz family, George and Catherine divorced in 1988 and has good both reasons. Died since. Yeah, well, they were pretty old, so died to natural causes. George last died, I believe, in 2006. The children chooses and asks the media to respect their privacy. One children, however, Daniel Lutz, released a documentary about his experience in the house, calling it My Amityville Horror. He is the only Lutz child to actually even come out to the media about his experience. The rest kind of just shut him away.
It was probably eating him up. Like, I don't know if I could go through my life going through that and not being able to talk about it.
Yeah.
It just sounds like torture.
The children suffered heavy trauma, but not from the actual haunting itself, but from how they were treated because of just living in that house.
Oh, pussy.
Mm-hmm. Well, jeez.
No, you said you agreed.
I guess I did. All right. So what do you think? That was Amityville. What do you think of that?
I think we should go visit Annabelle and Amityville for Halloween.
Good old road trip.
With the boys. Boys road trip. We get demonic spirits attached to us and take them home like pets, like sea monkeys.
Yeah, okay.
Demonic sea monkeys.
Robbing Annabelle.
We'll do a heist.
A drive by, just grab Annabelle.
I want the cabinet too, though. I want the cabinet with the Bible. I want the whole cabinet.
The Warren actually have a whole museum, so there's a lot of stuff just they take home. It's in that one room, along with Annabelle. So I don't know why they did that.
Yeah, just keep it in one spot. Keep the evil in one hot spot.
Yeah.
Where is their house located?
I do not remember. Well, you know what? I'll find that out after our sponsorship. Okay.
Got it. Man, aren't those sponsors great? They're selling.
Welcome back. So I did find out where the Warren Museum is. Their house is located, I think, let's see, I'm going to try to pronounce this. Shane, Wyoming. Cheyenne, is it? Oh, God.
Cheyenne.
Yeah, Wyoming.
People live in Wyoming? I thought it was just one of those states that no one actually lived in.
It only is a state?
It's real? I feel, whoa.
I thought that was the Canada of America. All right, ready for our next topic?
Yep.
Werewolves. That's it. No, I'm kidding. All right. So how much do you know about werewolves?
Big dog, grr, full moon. Ooh.
Big man dog, silver bullets.
Silver bullet make brain go brr.
Yes. So we're going to get into the Werewolf of London.
I feel like you've talked to me about this before. You probably brought it up before, but we didn't go in depth.
The funny thing is, I think I just found out about this when I was writing the script.
Wait, really?
Yes, I don't know.
Okay, then maybe I just know a little bit, because this sounds familiar. Go ahead.
We'll just get into it. Bill Ramsey was born and raised in Southend, a seaside town in the UK. His childhood...
Okay, sorry, what's going to bother me? Is this the cannibal guy?
Hmm?
Is he a cannibal?
No.
Okay, so maybe this is what I'm thinking of. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
Okay. His childhood was fairly normal for a kid until he was 9. One Saturday afternoon in 1952, Ramsey was playing outside when a cold, rigid air came over him. So cold that it caused the sweat on his skin to freeze.
Oh my god.
Yeah. He began to vomit. And he then only had one thing on his mind, and it was running away into the forest next to his house. So,
okay.
Right off the bat, it's already weird enough. His all of a sudden, sweat is freezing on his skin. Keep in mind, it's not like winter or anything.
Oh, it's not winter.
So he basically felt a breeze by himself, and it was cold enough to make sweat freeze on his skin.
Wait, what? That's weird. Wait, I can't. Okay, go ahead, because I can't even understand how that would happen.
Yeah, a sudden rush of anger and adrenaline rushed into his system. Using this rage, a 9-year-old kid, he pulled an entire metal fence post off of the ground and began to swing it like a club. Metal fence post. This metal fence post was dug very deep into the ground, like it was hammered in, and
like a stake, like a metal stake.
Yeah, it would take at least 2 average humans to actually remove this with their bare hands, and if a single person would do it, they would have to use tools or something. But this 9-year-old child did it in one pull by himself.
Strong boy.
Which is, he was scrawny. He was actually really scrawny for a kid.
You can be scrawny and strong. don't discriminate. Don't hate.
Sorry, but just a sudden like strength that came into him, I guess.
That's what cocaine will do to you. Coke was legal.
Wolf of London was just a kid on cocaine.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of these horror stories can be contributed to drugs.
Yeah. They were all just on crack.
I was about to say crack.
Wow, now that you say that, you know, you think about like Annabelle in the mirror and all these hallucinations.
Hold on, man, I see an Annabelle in the mirror, and they're just on acid, man.
They're all just on acid.
They're just popping fumes and starting
just crackheads.
Even the Warrens, they were just high.
Yeah. However, the next terrifying thing he did, which caused his parents to flee back inside their home and lock the doors, Bill began to start gnawing at the metal fence post, like just start like chewing at it, and yeah. And he was growling and stuff, like how a rapid animal would.
Rabies.
Mm-hmm. He got bit by a squirrel, and he was never the same again. After a while, Bill had calmed down and became a regular child again. At this point, you would just have to throw away the whole child.
Oh, right? I'm not keeping you.
No, I just saw you chew a fence post up. I'm not keeping you.
I'm gonna call Mrs. Lovett and throw him in the incinerator.
God. What a reference.
I've been liking Sweeney Todd lately.
Moving on. 15 years passed before something similar would happen. Bill had gotten married and had 3 kids and had a home of his own. He's a regular old Samaritan to society at this point.
Mm-hmm.
However, after 15 years, for about 18 months, Bill had the same nightmare every night. In the nightmare or dream, he would be following his mom, only for her to turn around and scream at the sight of him. And then he would wake up. Yeah. So, for 18 months straight, having the same nightmare. That's
18 months?
18 months. That's more than... That's a year and a
half. I thought you said, like, 8 weeks.
No, 18 months.
That's way different. That's way different.
That's, yeah, and, you know, that's just, that's so sad. One night, Bill suddenly woke up from his nightmares, and he thought he heard a large animal panting in his room. Well, there was. The animal was him. He was just panting very loudly by himself.
And he wasn't even thinking about it. Like, it was just happening.
He basically did it in his sleep before waking up to see himself doing.
That's strange. Yeah.
Very strange. Once again, there would be another 15-year time gap before something else would happen. You will notice the pattern is there will be increments of either 15 years or 18 months, okay? Before, like, stuff would occur. So another 15 years would occur, would, like, go past. And the year is now 1983. And okay, Bill went out drinking.
But the dreams, they just kind of went away?
After 18 months, he did.
Huh.
Yeah. And then it would be another 15 years before something of the sort happened again. This is when shit hit. The year is now 1983, and Bill went out drinking with his friends. The old local pub. After a few drinks, he started to feel uneasy and excused himself to the men's room. There, he looked in the mirror to see a wolf looking right back at him. So instead of seeing his reflection, he saw a wolf.
What?
Yeah. At this point, you kind of have to assume someone spiked you, right?
Yeah, you got roofied, my guy. Somebody pulled ye old Bill Cosby at the pub. I'm sorry. ye old Bill Cosby, one for the books.
Yo, Cosby.
Ye old Cosby.
God, I need to quote that. he and his friends and left a little later. During the car ride, Bill sat in the behind the driver's seat. Bill felt the same cold breeze that had brushed over him back when he was 9. He then his hand started to like claw, like his, like, how do I explain this? Like, you know how you would, if you were about to go scratch someone, you would form your hand to, like, a really sharp claw, basically?
Yeah.
So his hands basically became that, but it was very stiff, almost like there was an actual claw in his hand. And then he started clawing at his seat and even attempted to bite his friend's leg.
Oh, what the hell?
Yeah. The designated driver, however, stayed calm. Thankfully,
and baby shot.
Yeah, he was able to pull over, and the friends tried to pull Bill out of the car, and he eventually calmed down. The thing with this is, nothing. They didn't call the police or none. They just went on their night.
Just kind of went on. Just kind of went on with their life. Oh yeah, my friend just tried to take a chunk out of my leg for funsies. All right, bye, Bill. Tell me what kids you have. I said hi.
He scratched the hell up the back seat, you know?
Oh, wait. So it wasn't just him, like, making claw with his head. He actually scratched up his
teeth. Yeah, he scratched, yeah, like... You know, I see Wolverine claws in movies and stuff. Yeah, it was like that.
You know what would make that even scarier? If he was, like, the type to bite his nails, but he still somehow clawed it, that would make it, like, 10 times scarier. Like,
exactly.
That's weird, but it would be weird if he had no nails.
Mm-hmm. That's not even the worst part to come.
Really?
Yeah, there's
There's more.
There's so much more. About 18 months later, Bill would feel a sharp pain in his chest while visiting his mom. He immediately checked himself into the ER, thinking that this was a potential heart attack that was going to happen. While in the examination room with the nurse, Bill sunk his teeth into a nurse.
Sunk? When you say sunk, you mean he bit in and the teeth were inside her?
Yeah. Her arm. Yeah, you know how much you had to bite in for teeth to actually... Yeah.
And you know blood would come out when you pierce somebody's skin with your teeth?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, God. That's like a blade.
The craziest part was he started a rampage through the hospital.
He was thirsty.
He bust out of his room and just started running around like a madman. It took about four police... What'd you say? Sorry.
In a hospital gurney, like the little dress with his butt hanging out.
Yeah. Big balls. Just all growling at people. It took about four policemen to hold him down, and his apparent super werewolf strength literally snapped.
No, just say he was inhumanly strong. God, you just said Superman. You just said inhuman. You could have said he was really strong. You could have said he was like the Hulk. Come on now.
I'm gonna refer to it as that from now on.
He was a Power Ranger.
Yes, no more from the hospital. But he did snap handcuffs in half.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
things are strong. I don't know what handcuffs are made out of, but like they're really strong.
And for you just to snap them in one go,
very. He did also pull up a metal post at 9, though.
Nah. It took two tranquilizer darts to put him down.
Sounds like someone I know.
After a doctor interviewed him the next day, he was free to go.
What?
Yeah. He refused to be admitted to a mental ward, and since he had enough sanity, he was technically free to go. So he had his blood to just refuse
the ward. Keep him in, please. Yeah.
So there was nothing wrong. He believed there was nothing wrong with him mentally.
He took a chunk out of a nerve. Well, tried to at least.
Yeah. And there's more.
There's more. He ate his chips. Just say it. He ate his daughter.
No. A few months down the line, about another 18 months, the increments. Ramsey would feel a sudden pain in his chest again and check himself into that same goddamn hospital.
That's the same nurse, and she's like, no, not you again. Just have a heart attack this time.
Of course, he would turn to a rapid animal again and fought off more police officers. He apparently hurt an officer so bad that the officer had to stay in the hospital for about 4 days after the assault.
At least he was already there.
Yeah. It took about a dozen police officers, to hold him down and two injections to do him.
A dozen? You mean like a donut dozen?
A donut dozen of cops.
12 cops? You know how fat cops are?
Yeah. They held him down and they had to take two injections to do him.
Wow.
Ramsey was put through an x-ray and brain scans, and there was no sign of anything wrong with him.
What is up with this dude?
Yeah. Word of this caught sight all around the world and got to, of course, the Warrens. The Warrens convinced Bill to come to their church in Connecticut, where they would perform an exorcism. So Bill was convinced, and he did go to Connecticut to do it, whatever.
Yeah.
The night before the exorcism, however, Bill tried to strangle his wife in his sleep.
Nope. Nah. Nah. The moment, okay, look, I can see his thought process up to this. It might be a matter of pride. He might be too scared to admit that something is wrong and he needs help. But because I could see myself doing something like that, like me going insane, but being like, no, I'm fine. I got stuff I got to do. Let me get out of here. Like from a pride stance, because pride is stupid. But the moment I put my hands on my wife, nah, but yeah. Fuck me up. Yes. Yeah, for as long as y'all need me. Nah.
You were awake when he did this. When he strangled.
That's even it wasn't worse, easy though. That is deep-seated. That you're not conscious of it. It's something that you think of, but like you don't do.
Yeah. So that's that. The next day during the exorcism, after an hour and a half of just Bill sitting there, nothing happening.
The lamest exorcism. It's just him in a chair.
So the thing is, it was him. Yeah, he was just sitting in a regular chair for an hour and a half while a priest just stood there and said ram Latin words to him. There's photographs and videos of this, and you can see how like bored he was.
I have to look that up after this. That sounds funny.
Priest Maketa kept reading, and after an hour and a half, Bill's hand starts forming into claws again. Oh, but this time they were more visible. His face also began to contort too, almost like into a wolf.
Oh.
So his face started, the full force of the so-called werewolf descended onto Bill and before disappearing for good, making this a successful exorcism.
Okay, that makes sense, because usually an exorcism, it's the way exorcisms are portrayed, it's like, okay, nothing's happening. Oh, it's really bad now. Help. The calm. Like, that's usually how it is. Like, brings out the thing that's really fucking evil, and then it's just everything fine, which is good.
Exactly, yeah. So
successful, by the way you described
it. And since then, there's been no werewolf incidents with Bill.
Is he dead?
I don't think so. Let's see. Bill Ramsey.
What's his name again? Bill Ramsey?
Bill Ramsey, yeah.
Ramsey, like the king.
He's still alive, 92 right now. Holy oh, my god.
92-year-old! What if he's immortal? What if he's a werewolf and he's immortal?
Oh, god. Queen Elizabeth is just a werewolf.
No, she's a vampire, bro. She's way too old. Her and Prince Philip?
Prince Charles. Charles.
Yeah, he been dead 100 times over. I don't know what he's still doing walking this earth.
Have you seen pictures of him?
Yes!
He looks like a walking corpse.
He looks like he's already hit necrosis. He's already... It's terrible. It's a croak, man. Yeah.
But let's see. What did you think of that?
I think his life sounded pretty exciting, and I want to know what he took and who sold it to him, so I could be like him. What'd you say?
I want to be whatever he's on.
Exactly. Give me whatever he got, please. I want to rip a metal post with my bare hands.
God. To bite off, take on 12 police officers at once.
I don't know why I just thought of Five Nights at Freddy and that Markiplier clip of like when Bill bit the nurse. Is that the bite of 87? I don't know why that's my first thought.
Let's move on to our last story. Our last topic.
Cannibals are so weird.
There is no cannibal, unfortunately. I do want to make that a future episode though, because this episode has more
for me, the supernatural meat.
What'd you say?
What?
Okay. Our next story is going to be very short compared to the other ones. We're gonna get into Union Cemetery. Union Cemetery is located in Easton, Connecticut. And dates back all the way to the 1600s. So there are graves in there that date back to the 1600s.
Back with the Chippewas again, or whatever tribe you said earlier.
The graveyard contains many graves, but it's the unmarked one that are causing the most trouble, apparently. Inside one of the graves, there's believed to be the former corpse of a woman who died in her mid-20s during childbirth. She is seen by hundreds of visitors and has become known as the White Lady.
Sorry, I'm a child.
That's me laughed. That was the thing I took upon.
Really?
The White Lady, yeah. The White Lady.
Really? Okay. Yeah, real
quick. The White Lady is known to have long dark hair and is wearing what looks to be a white nightgown and bonnet, giving her, of course, her nickname, the White Lady. She is usually seen by drivers going down Route 59. What'd you say?
Is this the Bridge Lady?
Bridge Lady, no.
I think I know.
But there is a lot of spirits that go that have to do with like lady and white.
True.
I know. Yeah, there are not.
See, I grew up with a lot of Hispanic people, so I know a lot of the Hispanic ones. And have you ever heard of
Yeah.
She's pretty much the same, kind of, not really. She drowned her kids.
She drowned her kids. I did read about her in a earlier episode of my podcast. I can't remember which, but I did read about her.
Oh, I don't remember that. I watched. Oh, damn it, fake fan. Sorry.
You call yourself a fan.
Sorry.
Deserve to be here. However, like the White Lady name itself is like in Chicago, there is another graveyard that also sees another lady, also called the White Lady.
Oh, who wow. Would,
like, so it's a very common thing, I guess.
Very common thing to have lazy names for spirits. Cool.
She's usually seen going through or walking on the edge of a cemetery close to the road, which is very dangerous to drivers. One incident in 1993 involved a fireman out off duty driving down the road and actually hitting the spirit. Of course he thought it was just a regular lady. When he got out to check on her, nothing or nobody was found except for a huge dent in his car.
Oh, that's terrifying.
So finding nothing,
and you can't even
a giant
that it was an animal because there was no blood or nothing in the street.
You tell them insurance.
Yeah. Yeah, explain that. What are you telling them? You see what happened.
I hit nothing but something too.
Something hit me. Can I have my money now?
God. When the Warrens came to investigate this, and Lorraine, along with her team, caught pictures of the White Lady, and I think you can find them online.
No.
Along with that, yeah.
The White. Please don't give me the
one. Yeah. Oh, okay. Along with that, they saw red eyes coming from the forest behind the cemetery. These eyes are said to belong to Earl Kellogg, a man who was set afire across the street and burned to death in 1935. I do not know where they got that conclusion from.
Where?
I seriously do not know.
What the heck? That's so weird.
When I read this, I was like, wait, what? It was who is Earl Kellogg,
Earl,
and
Kellogg?
How do you know?
Like the cereal?
No,
okay. So not about the same.
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
That's still strange. That is a weird conclusion to come to without any proof to back it up.
Got burned in 1935 in the streets. Imagine, but I don't know how they got that conclusion, but whatever.
Wow.
Yeah. Nowadays, the graveyard sits quietly and is a tiny tourist trap for those who are interested in the supernatural. People who go there claim they see like spirit orbs, and the white lady is still seen. All that. However, police patrol. Yeah. However, police patrol this area very closely after the sun goes down.
Fuck that. I wouldn't be a cop in that area. They sent me to see some white lady. Get out of here.
And that's our fourth topic. Okay, let's conclude. With every episode, we determine the topics as reality or false. So let's reflect. Annabelle, what do you think? Give us your thoughts.
Oh, yes, true, very true. I believe, yes.
Why?
I just feel like there's enough accounts. Even without the ones that you named, there's been enough people who've gone to the museum and had stories of things occurring to them, even if they haven't mocked at all. I've heard enough about it enough to believe it.
Mm-hmm. I'll say reality too. I've always believed Annabelle has a demon in it. It's a real demonic presence.
Running
it. So I'm not gonna mess with it. No. I'm not gonna say it's freaking it, Carter. No. Next topic, Amityville. What do you think?
Also true.
Also true. I'll say true. Also true too. There's just a lot of evidence. There's enough evidence.
There's people there, the Warrens, and I didn't know the Warrens went with a crew. And the fact that even that you have all these accounts of it saying that Mr. Warren was being held down by a force, it'd be hard to discredit that many people.
Exactly. And there's just a lot of actual names. These people actually exist. There are records and everything. It's enough for us to say that it's real.
Yeah, the murder victims and everything were real people. The murderer's still in jail now. Yeah, there's enough evidence.
Even if it's not haunted, there is history behind that house as the murders and everything. You know? Back in 1600s, where those poor souls were left to die. Next topic, the Werewolf of London.
No, I can't believe this one. I don't.
Okay.
No.
I'm on the fence with this one.
I think it's a really funny story, and it's a great story to tell, but it just seems way too cartoonish.
See, I wouldn't think that there was an actual, werewolf spirit, surrounding Bill, but more or less it's a mental disability thing he refused to acknowledge, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's more realistic, but if we're talking the supernatural route, I think there's nothing. I think he might have had schizophrenia, dementia, or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Maybe he had like a identity disorder. Maybe he just didn't know. But in my opinion, that's spirit wise, I'll say false. And lastly, the Union Cemetery. What do you think?
Cemeteries are always freaky, man. I have no reason to not believe this. Cemeteries always get the heebie-jeebies.
That's where bodies are kept. It's just a lot of death around cemeteries. Exactly. So,
death surrounds, I'll believe pretty much anything supernatural you tell me.
I would have liked more evidence from Union Cemetery, but with what's told, I will still say it's reality, in my opinion.
And the fact that you said people saw spirit orbs there, that's not too outlandish. Like, the white lady, that's a little weird. It's a little cartoon character-y, but other than that, I can believe the spirit orbs and stuff.
Yeah. Spirit orbs are actually very common in this area. So. Mm-hmm. You can even search them up. But that'll conclude everything. Any last words? Anything you gotta say? Shout outs?
I'm gonna plug my Twitch without your permission. Twitch.tv/itsprincekale. Thank you. I'm gonna be so rich now. I'm gonna be Ninja Fortnite.
Nice. All right.
Let's go.
Thank you for being on the podcast today. Really appreciate it.
You should make a podcast about just pie.
But thanks for coming, and I'll see you next time. All All right, hello everyone. Thank you for listening to today's episode. It has been a while since I released an episode, and just a lot of things happened to me personally, and I lost a lot of motivation for a bit. But I'll try my best again to release more episodes. I found it's very fun and nice for me just to make these episodes. I have some last announcements. What is it? Refresh Reality is now on social media. We are on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, I believe. All just search up Refresh Reality and follow our handles. Thank you. We also now have an official website. Here you can find links to all the platforms you can listen Refresh Reality on. This includes Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Overcast, and the Anchor app itself. What's also neat about this website is if you want to be on the podcast, there is a section where you could apply. I would gladly take anyone who wants to be on the podcast. And if you don't, even if you don't want to be on the podcast and you're more of a writer yourself, you want, if you have a scary story you want to hear on the podcast, if you just submit it there, I will gladly read it out loud on the podcast. Aside from that, that's all I have today. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. It means a lot to me. And I'll see you guys next time. Bye.